Celebrating Black History Month, and just welcome to Bringing Back the Family, Focus on the Youth, Block by Block. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am just very happy and so excited that you chose to tune in to Bringing Back the Family, Focus on the Youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. Thank you. Okay, first we are going to start out and acknowledge God with a word of prayer and scripture and prayer. And we have with us our host. Now, I just want to introduce them all. We have our host, Jacqueline Vandegrift. We have Rebecca Johnson. We have Ms. Callie Pierce. We have our junior host, Jacob Ripron. And our young adult host, Shania Cox. And we have our wrap it up host, Pastor Drew Marshall Overall, from Wonderful Christ Ministry and his biblical perspective. What does God say about all that we discuss? So Pastor O, our host, wrap up. Okay, so let's get started with our scripture and prayer. Thank you.
Well, hello, Miss Kathy. Hello, other super hosts and Pastor O and our listening audience. You all are so special to me. But Miss Kathy wants me to start off reading Proverbs 22. Sixth verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is such a beautiful verse, and as we go into Romans 12, 1 and 13, and they kind of go together because it's a part of your training as you grow up and training your child, you know, it says Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is love. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Jacqueline Vandegrift. Training up a child
That's good. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, we stand in awe of your majesty and power. You are the only true and living God, the only one that guides us on right paths and sustains us. We are thankful to serve a God that is so kind and generous and merciful. We are grateful for all the work you have already done. We thank you for lessons learned and for answered prayers. We thank you for going ahead of us to make this new day, for breath and strength and this moment to be in your presence. We thank you for your goodness and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating in Bring Back the Family tonight. We thank you for opportunities to guide every child that crosses our paths. We know that we can't even imagine the great plans you have for them. We ask that you show us how to teach them to love themselves just the way you made them, and to provide all the children with the support and resources they need. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jackie. And thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Okay. Okay. Bring Back the Family is a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, to get involved, and make a difference. It's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and to take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Who? Whose responsibility is it? Hey, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. Okay, who's going to be in charge of the next generation running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We could do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community. Okay? Picture this, parents, our young people, not having to worry about our children when they go out into the world, into the community, terrorizing and making a bad name for themselves or the family. Okay? Got to keep that family name strong. So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around the world, and all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation is parents and community comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them, make sure that they're okay. So what do we propose to do? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something on your block for the youth. On your block, we were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. It's time. It's just time, and it's simply just giving back. Giving back and giving more than what we had, because it is a different day and time. So we have to be more concerned than our parents was concerned about us. Okay? And so how do we do it? Block by block. Do something on your block to share, to care, to love, be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. Somebody they can look up to. and be proud of, okay? Not a lot of men in the homes with our young people, and that nuclear family that we used to have is just not there. And we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying as we move forward to pray that the men come back to the home, you know, and there are families, built up families where they have the nuclear family, the mom, the dad, and the children, the grandma, the aunts, the uncles, all of that family that's all around family, community family, okay? And those are the things that we're going to focus on, we're going to pray about, okay? And so we propose to do it block by block, do something. You know, kids need to learn how to read. A lot of our children don't know how to read. And so if we give them books, workbooks, just anything, like I say, always go to the dollar store, that Dollar Tree, everything is $1.25 now. And if you see youth on your block that wayward, or just, you know, not doing anything, or if they are doing anything, find out what they're doing and what they're not doing and encourage them. Our kids need lots of encouragement. And so as we celebrate Black History Month, I hope that we can focus on, as we move on to bigger and better things and trying to get our youth on the level that they need to be on to be able to be good, productive citizens. We had some teenagers, some juveniles that were responsible for, allegedly, for the Kansas City shooting. And that's not acceptable. So can we see what's going on and where this world is going and what's happening to our young people and our youth? We can see these things happening in front of us every day. We're reading about it, and it's always more, it's something. It's always more and more and more, and a lot of it has to do with our youth, okay? So it's time for us to really step up. It's time for us to step up. African-American contributions that paved the way for today moving forward. Okay, and our Black the Family, we're celebrating Black History Month, and we do make history every day. So all the contributions throughout history that are still felt today, many of these inventions and patents we are still using today. We take for granted some of the simple things that we use, you know, like turning on and off the light, all the simple things, flushing the toilet. Somebody invented those things. And so we're going to talk about some inventions and patents and some of the struggles that we endured with those patents and inventions that we read about, okay? And then we're going to talk about, we're going to move forward, and Jacob Rittenrein for Ecorse High School Senior will discuss the path of the esports from high school to success. And then after that, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What do we do? This is something really new that, you know, that he's going to introduce to us, that he said you could be a billionaire with these esports. And so that's, you know, where our time is going, our next generation is going, and, you know, things like this. So I can't wait to hear about that, okay? So, what can I hear? So, can you guys hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good deal. Okay. Okay, and so we're just going to start. I got my our co-host, Rebecca Johnson, and Jacqueline. Ms. Rebecca, did you have anything for us this evening?
I do.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, I have some rules for the family.
Okay, great. Let's have it.
Okay, here we go. Number one, mm-hmm. always be honest. And that's from Proverbs 12:22.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 12:22 reads as follows. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Rule number two, count your blessings. That's from Psalms 34:1-3. And that goes like this. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Okay, number three, forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
That came from Micah 7:18, and that one reads as follows. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And then number four, be supportive of one another. That comes from Acts 20:35, and it goes like this. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then number five, be kind and tenderhearted. That one comes from Ephesians 4:32. And that one goes like this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then the next one is keep. Oh, wait. I lost track. Count your blessings, forgive and forget. Be supportive of one another. That's the next one. That one comes from Acts 20:35. It says, in everything I did, I showed you. Oh, I read that. All right. I'm lost in my list. It's a list of rules for the family. Okay, the next one is keep your promises. That one comes from Romans 4:21. And it goes like this. Being fully persuaded that God has power to do what he had promised. And then the next one is comfort one another. That one comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:18. And it goes like this. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And above all, and the last one is love one another. And that one comes from 1 Peter 1:22. And it goes like this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. And those are the rules of the family.
I like that. That's a good way to bring back the family. You know, we have gotten so far away. Families have gotten so far away from the church and the word. And it's important that we try to get our families back to the church. And all those scriptures were perfect in the way that we should treat people every day. Mm-hmm. That's just some down home good scriptures to live by. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Sister Rebecca. And that's just, you know, I mean, the family is built on God, you know, and we need to get our children back to the church, back to Bible study and Sunday school, and really, really give them information as far as what they need so that they can stay and want to learn more. about God. Mm-hmm. That's important. That's what we're missing in our home.
I agree. You're welcome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. All right, Miss Jackie. I know you were going to talk about the
pattern. Thank you. That was excellent, Miss Rebecca. And I think that that type of information, you know, we can know things, but sometimes people have to ring your bell to remind you that you are walking the way you walk in front of your children. They are sponges, and you reflect. They pull from you. So when you give messages like that, it kind of rings your bell to say, hey, if it fits you, pull on in. You pull out whatever you need out of this message, and you move forward. And that's how valuable that is. Thank you, Ms. Rebecca. Now, I'm going to read to you all about the resilience of Blacks as inventors. And I'm going to give you this message, and then I'll tell you who the author is, okay? Have you ever wondered why inventors had difficulties getting a U.S. patent approved? While Blacks was not considered as human beings in the U.S. Constitution by the forefathers that wrote the Constitution, the founding fathers, slaves were property of slave masters. Minorities had a hard time getting approved by U.S. patent because they had to be free slaves. In order to be a Black person, free slave, to get approved, he had to partner with a white man to get approval for a U.S. patent as a proxy to front for approval. In most cases, the price of a U.S. patent was very expensive. Or if a slave invented something, it was stolen by his owner. This being said, there were great inventors like Louis Lattimore who worked at the patent office in Massachusetts as an office boy and later moved up to a draftsman, which helped with some of the barriers Blacks face. Some publications like the Colorblind Patent System and Blacks suggested that early Black inventors had significant barriers where they were free or enslaved. Some of these barriers were as early as 31 years after President George Washington signed the Patent Act into law. Thomas Jennings was the first Black inventor, dry cleaning method, whereby Martha Jones, the first Black woman, patent wasn't approved until 59 years after a white woman received a patent in 1809. The Bar Association suggests that barriers did not kill the spirit of many Blacks. Even in those early days, enslaved people invented products to make it work easier for them. There were several enslaved inventors like the ones from Kentucky, the hemp breaks, Eber Broom from cornstalk, Alabama machine cleaning cotton, and North Carolina slave created curling tobacco. These slaves never got paid for the inventions. As we move into the golden age, racial discrimination was a major factor among Black inventors. And for those reasons, Africans conceal their race from the patent office per the publication from the American Bar Association. The second Black had received a patent was Henry Blair, who signed his name with an X to get his patent as a free man. Mr. Blair studied law privately and was admitted to the bar in 1959. Mr. Blair had a great impact on the progress in agriculture and how he planted food. His first invention distributed seeds while removing weeds And his invention was for cotton planters. That was his second invention. These great inventions were during 1834 through 1836. In 1856, another prolific inventor was born in Columbus, Ohio, Granville T. Woods. His mother, a Native American, and father was an African American, died when he was 10. He quit school and went to work until later he finished college in engineering and electricity. Mr. Woods was the Black Edison. In his early inventing career, Granville improved some inventions and took the money he created to create new inventions. Granville faced several obstacles from rivals like Thomas Edison, who tried to take credit for the two of his inventions, which Woods won in court over a multiple railway telegraph. Edison lost this case in court. A few blacks were selected to cater weddings, buffets of wealthy elites in Philadelphia for 1863 Emancipation Celebration. And Alexandra Ashburn, born, was an inventor of the biscuit cutter. These cutters are used today. His patent was approved November 20th, 1876. 18 months later, without incident. Now, the New York Times selects several black inventors to help shape America's life in ways that affect how we live. Garriott Morgan, who created the improved gas mask with a hood that was approved after he overcame obstacles because he was a black man. Having a sixth grade education, Mr. Morgan paid for a tutor and called his patent the breathing device. A few years later, the device was used in 1916 at the natural gas explosion in the underground work site beneath Lake Erie. Now, Ram Forch, author of Black Inventors in the Age of Segregation, the team was led by Mr. Morgan and others. The second person the New York Times suggested had an impact was Marie Van Britten Brown, who developed the home security system. The third inventor was Lonnie Johnson, dreamed up the super soaker. In 1894, Henry Baker compiled a list of African-American patent holders. It was said that one man list gave black inventors the credit they deserved. U.S. Representative George Washington Murray read the list of patent holders into the Congressional Record for Protection. This was step one, and most blacks were faced with a larger problem, said Mr. Oakes. Asking historians with the USPTO, which is the U.S. Patent and Trade Office in Alexandria, Virginia, the barriers blacks face were financial means, getting the products to the market and getting a patent attorney or pitching the product to a common entity to cover up and block blacks from getting the products in the manufacturer production. The USPTO did not include race on the application to cover up the demographic data. Baker lists 300 names on the list in the late 1800s. Even though our great inventors were trailblazers, they overcame a multitude of challenges. With the change of laws, education, and the partnership with white counterparts, a solution that several inventors used was to sell some patents to generate funds. The statement, the real McCoy, and we all heard that one before, the originator for that was Elijah McCoy, who had over 50 patents to his name. And when he saw a need to create a solution, Grant T. Woods received over 60 patents that also helped create a solution for blacks who also to get successful patents. One of the wealthiest African Americans was Junius, was a prosperous person that overcame obstacles. Terrence was once slaves. After the Emancipation Proclamation, he got a small amount of education. He landed in Kansas with 90 cents in his pocket. A sharecropper and 15 kids, which 12 lived. He bought land and planted potatoes. He invested his money and bought over 500 acres of land and a railroad spur that connected railroads to the land. Mr. Grove hired blacks that traveled along the Mississippi River to Kansas, which was known as the Exodus of 1879, or Exoduster. Mr. Grove was also one of the Exodusters, if I'm pronouncing that right, who walked to Kansas, who worked hard and brought the land from Miss Roanna Connor, an indigenous American, for $3,600 per acre from the Haw Nation. This successful family, wife Matilda, had their own community, Grove Center, a church, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and a park. Booker T. Washington picked Mr. Grove as the most conspicuous Negro businessman who employed 50 laborers on the Kansas farm. African Americans had diverse aspects of black culture, said Karen Brain, an alumni of the University of Dayton Philip Academy, in an article she wrote. Ms. Blaine was honoring the diversities that blacks overcame during a crucial period for being enslaved as a free person. Booker T. Washington wrote The Negro in Business to Combat Racism by Providing Opportunities for Other Blacks. In conclusion, Louis Lattimore was a pioneer in the field of technology. He opened the door for several black people to get approved by the U.S. Patent. Mr. Lattimore had a great impact on African-American communities to pursue careers in science and technology and how to obtain an approved patent with the U.S. Patent Office. Some proponents state that his innovation continued to inspire new generations because of adversities and challenges as the Renaissance man of his time. As we look back on the adversities of blacks in America, Henry Blair never went to college, yet he studied law privately and was admitted to the bar in 1959. The corn farmer signed his name with an X, as I told you earlier, because he pretended like he didn't know how to read. When he developed the corn planter, another interesting fact was the history of Granville Woods in the adversities with Edison and overcame his in court and won the case. Edison later wanted to hire him, and he declined. I say all this because during that time, our ancestors were front runners. They were trailblazers. Yes, thank you. And these are some of the things, and I think that, you know, as I was listening to this author's information that they wrote, I said, wow, we really owe them something. because during the adversities, even though there's adversities now, but during their adversities, they came together. And at that time, they pulled their money together. They wasn't selfish. And they said, hey, let me sell some of these so other ones can get theirs. They don't have the money. Well, let me loan you the money. I'll become the banker. And this other man here with the potato king man, this man, a vision. And the author of this report, five-page report, is Jacob Riprod. And I hope you all enjoyed it.
Very nice.
Very good. That is great. That's a good report. I felt like I was watching the movie. That was great. Thank you.
And you know,
Jackie,
what? And when I read it, I said, wow. You know, we look at Black history, and somebody said, and I don't know if it was Pastor O, that it might have been you, Miss Kathy, or you, Miss Rebecca, was saying that every day is Black history.
Every day. Because,
like you were saying, we take for granted some of the things that we are using. And some of these people had to study, get an education privately, because it was against the law for them to learn how to read. Like the man signed with an X, and the whole time he was studying law and became and took the exam, never went to college, took the exam and passed the bar exam and became a lawyer. So, you know, and I'm thankful that I was able to kind of read it. I hope I did it justice in the reading of it. And he had to write an essay, and he wanted to kind of share it with the people so people could say, okay, is that a good paper or not?
But anyway,
thank you, Jacob, for your hard work.
Yes, thank you, Jacob. He is really a good writer. He's a good speaker. You know, and a lot of those things, you know, those things that you share them with the youth. Share them with the children in your home so that they know that, you know, great people came before them and did some inventions and patents that we use today. They need to know their history. They need to know what the ones before us did. You know, like you said, they worked together and shared with one another, made sure, you know, others had what they needed. And, you know, I feel like I came up in that time where our parents showed us how to share and showed us how to love and be a team. So, yeah, we need to not, you know, hide our history. We need to let them know what's going on, our kids, our youth. We need to talk about it all the time. Give them some history facts. Do some book reports, just like Jacob did. Do some book reports this week. Next week they're going to be out of school a whole week. Maybe focus on Black history and doing some book reports on some famous inventors, African-American inventors, and what their contributions were so that they can know that they are great and can make history every day. Because we do. We make history every day. Yes, we do. Okay. Thank you, Sister Jackie. That was really good. Just make sure we share with our youth. Someone paved the way for us to be where we are today. And we all can be what we want to be. We all can be something great. We are great. We can be whatever we want to be. time. All right. So next we're going to talk to our young man of the hour. He's just a smart, brilliant, good personality young man. And he's always busy, always busy. And making sure his grades are tight. And he's going to share with us. He's going to share with us something new that they're doing, their age group are doing. And he's going to enlighten us on it. You say you could make millions and millions and billions. So this young man is way ahead of his time. So I want to introduce, you know, make just a little introduction. You know, Jacob is one of our youth hosts, and he is a senior at Ecorse High School, and he's going to speak on the path of esports from high school to success. Okay, he's going to tell us about this esport, capital ESPORTS, esports, and we already know that. The sports like the football, basketball, and hockey, all those sport teams, they make lots of money. So I'm just kind of, you know, connecting the two. I don't even know if it even goes together, but I guess he'll let us know that. Jacob was on a radio show this week via YouTube, and it was a student-run radio show. I believe it was called The Woods Esport Pilot, and it was, a student-run radio show via YouTube, and he spoke about esports also. They were having a tournament between Harper Woods and Ecorse High School, and so he was a guest speaker at that tournament, and he did very well. Really enjoyed the information, and so we're going to get some of that information tonight. So, Jacob, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Well, Jacob, how can esports help our young people? And just tell us what esports is about and what is the path of esports from high school to success. Give us a rundown. Enlighten us.
Well, esports is the practice. I don't really want to say practice, but esports is, like you hear in the word, it's a sport. It's a sport of playing video games. Esports is opening up a lot more doors for a lot of young people through all schools, like elementary, middle school, but mainly at a high school level. It's opening up a lot of doors for more people to get scholarships to go where they want to go. Because a lot of times these colleges, they look at the basketball player, the football player, the baseball player, and they are the main ones who get a lot of the attention and get a lot of the scholarship. They get a lot of the four rides to go out of state. You could be from New York, you get a scholarship to go to L.A. or different colleges out of state or even in state, but you get a full ride from playing a sport. Esports is opening up the doors for everybody that's not a basketball player, that's not a football player, that's not a baseball player, somebody that's not athletic, or not even if you're not athletic, it just opened up a lot more doors than what was before, because it's a lot of talented people that can play baseball, that can play basketball. Everybody can't go out and be a LeBron James or a Tom Brady or Miguel Cabrera. Everybody can't play sports. Esports has opened up the doors to allow people to reach that same level of success and make that same level of money while ever after worrying about tearing the ACL, getting CTE, getting hurt, or anything. And they're reaching that level just behind a computer screen, just behind a monitor, not having to do anything that an athlete would have to do, but they're reaching the same level of success and they're getting treated the same way just for being good at a game. And there are young people making millions. A 16-year-old just won $2.3 million just for playing Fortnite. And esports has really changed everything because 10, 20 years ago, you couldn't go tell your parents that I'm going to make a living playing games. They look at you funny. Oh, you got to get out of my house. You're not finna just play games and do nothing. But you now got people going to school, changing their whole life just from playing esports. It's people who work their whole life and they and never have made over $100,000. But it's people right now doing that, and they playing esports and they making millions. And it's people will never ever see that in their lifetime doing what they do. But it's people just doing that through esports. So esports is opening a lot more doors, giving a lot more opportunities that wasn't there 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. So what is what's the curriculum for it? Is it something you go to college for, or
esports you can go to college for, but it's not really a curriculum. Like I said, it's basically playing a game. Esports, like, a lot of the money is in tournaments. They have local tournaments called LAN tournaments, or they have global tournaments where you have to go out the country, or they have some local, but they have the majority of the money are in tournaments or on a streaming side, like being on YouTube, being on Twitch, doing that, like being a person that, like, an internet personality. But you can go to colleges for it. If you want to look in the gamer screen, you can get a bachelor degree in esports. Whether if you were into gaming, esports management, video game design, coding, a degree program at a respected accredited university would put you on a path of success. A lot of HBCUs I know have them. North Carolina A&T, they have some local, like Oakland, Eastern Michigan, I believe, is one that have top state-of-the-art esports facilities. So people are going to college for this, and they are getting degrees. They have the bachelor degree for esports management that you can receive. So colleges are getting all degrees for esports. And it's crazy because you can just get a degree just for playing the game. And that's what I'm saying. Like, esports, everybody don't have to be a player. You could be a coach, you could be a coder, you could be a streamer. Esports is a wide range of stuff, but colleges are recruiting people for that. Because a lot of schools have that. It's a sport now. If you search up esports, it is classified as sports. They have e-athletes. So a lot of colleges have that. So they're recruiting. They're looking for the best players to join their team so they could be on the team, just like a basketball team. They giving scholarships to the best high school players because they want to be a D1 college team. They doing the same thing for esports. They looking for the best person at this game. So they're giving out scholarships. So you can go get a degree at this.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I was looking here while you were talking, and you know, they were saying that part-time professional gamer income can rank part-time is $43,000. The average salary for just somebody that want to work for a company doing as a gamer is $99,508, up to $471,000. That's for the people that's not doing tournaments. So, you know, a part of it, and I was listening to your interview yesterday, and when you all were talking about branding, can you kind of elaborate to the listening audience and us that is not, and I'm so excited now when I heard it, but for us that really did, our generation that really is just now learning from you and your coach that introduced you to this, well, you were probably involved in it, but he expanded your horizons. Can you talk about branding for me?
Branding is just like an NBA player or an NFL player. It's how people look at you in this perspective. Everybody, you yourself, you are a brand. Whatever you do, Miss Kathy's a brand. Bring Back the Family is her company, and she brand that. So players brand themselves by streaming or just playing games, but it's basically promoting and how you carry yourself. You're not about to see LeBron James conduct himself a certain way in a bad, negative way because he's a brand, and that will affect him. And it's just like the same way for an esports player. You have to conduct yourself. You yourself, you listening to this right now, you are a brand. However you conduct yourself, that's the view of people. So just like how you will look at how LeBron James act, how Tom Brady act, it's the same way for an esports player. They're getting treated just like athletes. If you are here with black publicity, negativity on your name, they gonna treat you the same way. You might not get a scholarship or opportunity to play because you could be the best player on the team, but if you are here being negative and having negativity on your name, they won't get you because they're not gonna ruin their name for you no matter how good you are. They're not about to have LeBron James on the Lakers if he out here going on Twitter rants, being disrespectful, putting abusing women, just having bad publicity on his name. It's the same way. Everything you have to do is branding yourself, and it's about how you market yourself. It's about how you carry yourself.
So you're saying that esports helps build character? Because when you have to be responsible for your name, it's building. It's also building character. Are you saying that?
I would say esports character. Esports could help you build that, but character, that's something you have to look in yourself and find. Because it's like a basketball player. It's the same. Like I said, it's the same way with anything. Esports can help you with more like self-management, you know, controlling yourself, maybe like hand-eye coordination, but character, the way you manage yourself, that comes back to character. That comes back into you. Like, that reflects back into you. Esports is just another way of becoming successful, opening up more doors. It's just how you carry yourself. Branding is no matter what you do. A sport like that cannot make you who you are. It's about who you are and how you carry yourself. That's something deep down inside you. Esports can only take you so far. But if you are here not branding yourself right now, do what you're supposed to do. It's not going to take you nowhere.
So in essence, you really, when you look down at the foundation, you're saying you got to put God first.
You have to. It's about your character, no matter what you do. If you ask any athlete, every person going to say they put God first. You have to put God first in everything that you do. It's no different from basketball, playing football, playing hockey, any of that, baseball, any of that. It's the same thing.
Well, thank you, because I was also looking here where they were saying the gaming industry, that the bachelor degrees in esports and gaming is a good place to start, but like you were saying, it goes into esport management, esport video design, gaming designs, esport marketing. So they have that esport really is branches out in so many directions that a person, it could take a person. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions.
Yeah. Do anybody else have any other questions? Because this is really, I mean, it's really deep and technical. So do they have, so they compete with teams and you compete individually?
Yes, you can compete with teams or you can compete individually. It depends on the game, like 2K, Madden. Those games you can compete individually. They have 1v1, 2v2. But when you get into more team games like CSGO, Valorant, Rainbow Six Siege, Dota, League of Legends, Apex, those are team games. It depends on what game title you come under that you can play.
So, wow, how many different games is it? Sounds like it's like thousands of games that you could play.
It's thousands of games, but some of the top games are League of Legends, Apex, CSGO, Valorant. It's like those are some of the biggest titles, like Call of Duty. Those are some of the biggest titles where a lot of more money is, but as more games come and grow, the scene for them will come because they have CSGO tournaments for hundreds of millions. I've seen people start playing the game when they were 16. They grew up. By the time they 25, they retire, and they just be a coach for, like, the rest of their life. You're 25, retired. You probably got $30 million playing the bank. just from playing the game, and you just a manager now, not doing nothing.
So it's like you said, it's electronic sports, and you use video games. It's just like, okay, so video game, and you know how, because I know, like, you play with, like, a lot of people at one time, right? I know my nephews, they play, and they could be in different states and all of that, and they just play.
Yes.
I don't know if they're playing for fun. And so is that, like, the same thing they're playing? Are they playing, like, teams, or are they playing individually? Is that the same thing?
It depends on what game. Certain games, they have online tournaments like that you could. Like, Fortnite, they was hosting tournaments. Like, they had some tournaments on Sunday. They really had an event each day. They had one. They had special tournaments on Sundays, Monday, Tuesday. It depends on what game title it is, because different game title has different events. But I know Fortnite is one of the biggest that I have seen, because they have almost a tournament each day. And if you rank up, you could start playing online every Sunday. And if you get to a certain level, you could be at the NFCS. You could start playing every Sunday for about 4 months straight. And next thing you know, you have to go somewhere to an in-person tournament. You could be up to win $3 million.
Wow. At first, the video games were just for fun, but it just took a whole nother level. It just took a whole... So do you have to pay money to compete? Is that how they make it, just like... Do you pay to compete? Is that how you make your money? Everybody's paying a certain amount to compete in each game?
No. For Fortnite-wise, online-wise, you don't have to pay any money. You know, Fortnite, what's so crazy about Fortnite, that is a free-to-play game. You could imagine making $1 million off a free-to-play game. That's a free-to-play game. But I know team-wise, for high school-wise, we did have to pay to join our leagues. It was about $80 a person. So if you want to do, like, high school-wise, league-wise, joining different leagues. Different leagues have different entry fees. Some leagues might be free. Some leagues you have to pay. So it depends on where you enroll at, what league you join.
So this is like organized competitive video gaming. And so who runs it? Who runs it? Just like you have your teams, the professional basketball, football teams, you have these owners. Is it somebody that owns this, like the team?
Oh, esports
like
is actually a wide term. It's like how you have different basketball teams inside the NBA. There's not one league that we're all under. It depends on what game title you go under. And it usually be that company. Like, if you go on a Fortnite, like, the owner would be Epic Games, like, or the people that create it. It usually be the people that create the games who be paying out the money or who'll be over. So it's not like one person. It's not like you could just go say this one person owns esports or the owns the esports league. It's different leagues. Different games is owned by different people. So it's whoever owns that game or is over that league is the one who's really going to be overall paying out the money or over everything in general.
So you could create your own league?
Yes, right now. I know at eCourse we are working on creating our own league, because a lot of the game titles we play, a lot of schools don't play. So we are working on that, because I know we're working on it with Harper Woods, and we're trying to get River Woods to come along, because majority of the leagues we play is after school. Like, a lot of the games we play, we start at 4, and sometimes they don't be over to 7. And then one league we're enrolled in, they're on West Coast time, so they can't play the 4 over there and the 7 over there, because, you know, they're 3 hours behind. So we are working on creating a league. So you can create your own league through, like, an organization. So I have seen people do it through schools and churches and stuff like that. They have been making esports leagues, so you can make an esports league.
I noticed that the guy said yesterday that Ferris State built a whole wing for esports, and he said Michigan State in Lansing built a whole wing for esports.
top of the notch because the universities are really taking this to another level. You remember that conversation when you all were talking about that?
Yes, a lot of schools are looking at esports. Almost every school, because esports, that's a sport now. And what college don't want to have another D1 team? Just like how they want to have a D1 basketball team, D1 football team, they want to do the same thing with esports. So a lot of colleges are putting in esports facilities. I know when I toured at the HBCUs down south, when I went to, I think, South Carolina State and North Carolina A&T, they had very nice esports rooms, like top-of-the-line facilities.
It almost sounds like, you know, what's that thing in New York, the stock market, where you're just sitting around, you know, watching the stocks. So they're sitting around.
I thought that, too.
You know.
You're right, Kathy.
Huh?
I said, you're right. I thought that, too, when I saw it on the screen. I just got excited.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to do it in order to really understand it. So we're going to have to get the seniors club going and and get into this.
And challenge these young folks, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Jacob, how do we get the young people involved in this? What's their path? You know, how early should they start? Or they probably have started already. Because, you know, you got five-year-olds playing video games. So what's the path for that? What are we supposed to do to help? Who can this help, you know, as far as the youth?
Who can it help? It can help anybody. Because me, personally, I know I have always been a scholar all the way through school. I have always had a 4.0. And I really been received a scholarship or really get many opportunities until I started doing esports. Cause I know I always want to go to A&T, and now I am being able to get a chance to go to A&T through esports. So I feel like esports can help anybody that want to go to college. Wherever you, not even if you want to go to college, if you want to be successful in life, esports can help anybody that wants to change their life around. And I can't even get people into it. I feel like a lot of young people, they already play video games. Just be supportive. If you just have to ask your children, like, would you like to go play a tournament? Would you like to go get into esports? And if their school don't have it, maybe start a petition, get it going at your school, because a lot of schools are getting it going younger and younger. We just recently got esports in a high school and middle school over in e-course. So they're younger than us. They're probably all the way through the middle school and elementary playing esports. So, because video games has no age limit on it. So no matter how old they is, they can get into it. Like I said, a 13-year-old won 3.1 million playing Fortnite. So it is no age limit, however young they is. If that's what they have a passion to do, that's what they have a passion to do. Because I have always lived playing video games since I was younger, and I always wanted to be a YouTuber or a streamer, because I watched another young person do it. He was young, he was playing video games, and I watched him change his whole life. I watched him move out of his mama's house, move across seas, travel the whole world, and just enjoy his life like if he was any other entertainer off esports. So I believe esports can help anybody, no matter the age limit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you list the games that are not violent? Do you have a list of games that don't have violence in them?
Yeah, they have 2K, Madden, Mario Kart. It's actually a lot of games that are not violent. They have a lot of games that's actually not violent that they play tournaments for. Because the reason why I say this is they have a league for almost every single video game. So whatever game it is, you just have to look into it and research it. They have Pac-Man tournaments for the love of it. They got Pac-Man tournaments. You go to a Pac-Man Land tournament. They have tournaments for every single game. So So any game that don't have Violet in it, there's a 90% chance or higher that they have a lead for. They have a lead for almost every single video game.
That's good to know. Thank you.
I'm just imagining, because I'm trying to really figure this out. I'm just imagining, like, when we used to play Pac-Man. So if you really know how to maneuver and eat up all those things and get it to the end and go to each level and keep going to the level to where you make it, to where you get, I can't remember what, you just get more games. And so is that it? You just got to keep, getting to that level of winning. Is that what the 13-year-old? Now he like you say, he's been playing really early, and so I guess that's the same thing. It's just like if you play basketball, if you've been trained and you practice all the time, you can be a LeBron James. So is that the same thing? You practice in the video games, and you get better and better and better.
Pretty much, because it's so crazy. They have professional trainers who train people at esports. Like, there are schools and companies that people actually hire to teach their kids to get better. They have one. But I know a lot of esports players, like me, myself, and the rest of my teammates, were really self-taught. Like, it's just like, a video game is just like, the only way you get better is learning from your losses. That's just how it is. It's like, It's just like basketball. If you know you can't make a three, you just have to keep working around threes. It's just like that. You only learn, you only get better from your losses.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was sitting here laughing because I remember my mother, and at the time she was a senior citizen, and she used to beat the socks off of us with Pac-Man. So, I guess it doesn't mean age, but yes, I remember if she was around in the Pac-Man tournament, she probably would be right up in there, because she used to beat our socks off,
Yeah, that was fun. Back not too long ago, when, all the husbands and the boyfriends, all they did was play video games, and we just looked at them as being lazy, That's all you do. But now look.
They're making a living also.
Right. So, wow. And like you said, you don't have to worry about injuring yourself and get sprained ankles and Achilles and all those injuries that you get. You just sit behind a computer screen and wear your eyeballs out, I would suspect.
And take showers. There'd be a lot of people behind them screens at the games. They don't take showers. They got to take a shower. They got to take showers. As long as you take a shower, that's the old injury. Take a shower.
Wow. So some people just sit there and they don't move, huh? They won't take a shower.
We refer to them as sweat. Yeah, take a shower. A lot of people don't be taking a shower. Yeah, don't sit behind a screen and be musty. Take a shower.
Wow, they just stay there. They don't brush their teeth. They don't wash their face, nothing. They just stay there and make all them. Wow,
it's almost like that with everything, though, It's a balance, what I'm saying? Responsibility comes first.
Wow. Boy, it seemed like a lot to learn with this, Now, you said that you want to go to A&T and study esports. So what part of you are you going to do when you study?
I looked at degree day. I think personally, I'm going to go on an esports scholarship, but I'm going to go for that, like, business management and fashion design for my degree, because they don't really offer an esports degree after. They only have a club and scholarships. So they play tournaments. I can go down there and join the team and make money, because they are there's actually a tournament of all the HBCUs right now for esports, for Madden and 2K, non-violent video game. They're actually hosting a big tournament for maybe 1 million or it's 5 million. They're actually hosting a tournament for Artem HBCU. So I could go down there and make money and grow my esports career, but I will not receive a degree for esports from that specific college. But if I did want to go pursue an esports degree, I would have to go to a different college.
Okay. I see what you're saying now. Wow. That's deep. That's pretty big. Okay, any more questions? Any more questions? That's very interesting. Sister Pierce? You pressed your one. Let me see. Okay, Sister Pierce, you're on. Okay. When she comes back,
I don't know. This is all Greek to me. Really?
No. Hi, Sister Pierce. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Good show, but it was all Greek to me. I don't know. This is something new. I didn't have any idea of the depth of this. So it was interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said they can make millions and millions. So. You say you could, it's just like a sport, but you're just not doing it physically, you know, like you run up and down the court or you're playing football and you get injuries. So with this, you don't get injuries. You're just sitting behind a computer screen playing games.
Right.
It's a brain sport.
Okay. It's a brain sport.
About thinking, coming up with strategies about thinking.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, that's the way it is. That's things change. You don't go to college anymore for reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, so this is the way of the world. New technology, Star Wars, and stuff like that. So. This is like a Star Wars type thing. So I don't know. I can't really contribute anything, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is the way they start new ventures. And like the young man said, you can make millions doing this. And that's gonna leave a lot of us old people out.
I was gonna have an old people's club and get us a team going.
Give them a run for their money.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you have like youth that stay home a lot, you know, maybe that could be something that they could do. You know, they stay home maybe because their parents working or they just have. You know, have the need to keep their kid in the house, so maybe that's something that they can.
Or even if they homeschool, because I feel like I got deeper into my career during when I was homeschool. So even if they homeschool, that's a good outlet for them, and it even gives them a chance to almost get out the house, especially if they're going to tournaments. You know, it gives them a chance to grow more.
I have heard about those tournaments. My grandson was talking about those tournaments, and so he's aware of it. Deshaun, he's all into that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yes, I think I was watching a tournament on, I think, YouTube or one of those stations one time that he was showing me. He was talking about how much money you could make. But this is very interesting. And what did he say? I didn't understand what he said about eSport. What is that?
That's what this is. It's the electronic sports. Using video
games. It's a sport of playing video games.
okay, and how do you maybe I'm saying it wrong. It's like, so how do you spell that when you're looking this up on YouTube or on the Google? What is it called? Is it East? Or
it's just E and sport. It's E.
Oh, okay.
Majority of the time you type it in, it's going to be E-sport. But if you type in eSport in one word, it'll still pop up. It's going to pop up the same.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you know what? Miss Kathy, you should send her a copy of the interview.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
And I think it starts at 16 minutes and 39 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the same effect and feeling that we had, because this was like, it was new to us. This was the first time I had seen this when he sent the video and he sent it to Miss Kathy, and they were out on having the interview in the background of what was actually going on. And Miss Kathy is right. You would have thought they were at on Wall Street at the stock market.
Yeah.
I was really excited when I saw it, you know, because I had never been exposed to that. This was new to me, too. Mm-hmm. I was like one of those, why are you all on that game so long being lazy?
Right. It's very technical. Wow. Okay, so that's one more thing that our youth can do if they don't have anything to do. So we'll see how this goes, and we're going to investigate it more and try to get into it so that we can really understand and to be able to explain it, you know, to the next generation coming. Okay.
So we can no longer say, get off that game. You don't do nothing but watch that game, and it's going to mess up your brain. So we can no longer have that argument, right? Is that what the young man is saying?
That's over. It's over. This is a full-blown hit now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, at one time, when they were looking for air traffic controllers, they were saying how the video games prepared people to be air traffic controllers. So
now that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we can't hold them back no more.
Right. I mean,
I like the fact that a lot of them, you know, like some of my nephews all around the world, you know, out there, they communicate with each other with these games. And I think that is just so cool
do.
That they different states, and they're playing the game and communicate.
But really,
just
countries,
like
because they live
in the same room.
Not just states, but countries, because Dalen and Chris play with Darius and them, and they're in wherever they are right now. But I know they're not in the United States, but wherever they are, they play all the time.
They play. It's
so,
really amazing.
This is like new age, and it's almost like I'm almost feeling like my father and his brother felt when back then when they were in the horse and buggy age, and all of a sudden automobiles popped up. So this is something that's gonna be coming to term. It's like when they say flying automobiles. Well, I guess before we leave here, they're going to be flying automobiles all over the place. So I guess we better get ready, just like they had to get ready. We may not see, you know, it may not get like the Jetsons were, but it's going to be that. It's going to come a time when it's going to be that way. We'll be lucky to witness it, like my father and uncle was able to see this. This new technology basically take over the world.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we got to get that next generation ready. We really do.
Mm-hmm. I think they're more ready than we are, because they are coming in and grabbing the cell phone. They already ready. We got people that's my age who don't even want to look at the computer. That, you know, most people our age, they look at the telephone. We say, well, the telephone is just like a computer. I want nothing to do with a computer. But if you work the telephone, you already work on a computer. They don't see the connection. So most young people are already prepared for the digital age. We're the ones who are somehow all what we don't want to do. So
they are amazing. Wow. Right, we have to catch up with them because we do ask them to, you know, help me with my phone. Yeah. Okay, boy, that time ran out of here. Jacob, thank you so much. Will you come back again and give us some update on this? Because this is like a 2-3 day conversation.
No problem. Really. I will.
Yes, yes.
You know what? I think that you were saying that he was saying that earlier, that maybe he could get his coach to come in and, you know, part of eCourse that's involved in it, eCourse High School.
Right. Right. And well, that would be great. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to look forward to that. Okay. Did anybody have any more last-minute questions? Are we good? Bring our awesome Pastor O on and give us some closing words and
some biblical
perspective.
Some biblicals. You know, as I was listening to you guys and the way you were discussing, especially the way Jacob made it so clear that if you don't really play the game, if you don't really play the sports, because, you know, you're probably, you know, it's not good at it, but you are good at esports, the esport version of the same game. At the drag strip, you know, we would go to the drag strip, right? And, of course, you have spectators. They don't race a car. They just come to watch other people race the car. So they came up with some ingenious e-ways to get people who probably won't get in a race car and go down the track like I will, but they like it. So on the sideline in the pits, they would have these vendors who had these virtual drag race cars. I mean, you sit in the car, okay? It's like you're sitting right in the car, and the machine makes the car react just like on the drag strip. So you get to pull a wheel, stand, you get to do burnouts, you get to do, you know, without the fear of crashing, without the fear of all that other stuff, right? And then they also came out with the part of the drag race, the Christmas tree. You, if you know anything about drag racing, they start from a dead start. So it's a Christmas tree out there. It'll have two little yellow lights on it. Those are your stage lights. Okay, or if it's a modern tree, that light will probably have a round light, but there'll be a top part and a bottom part. The top light comes on, you're pre-staged. The second light comes on, you're staged. Okay, some seconds after that, if you're a pro racer, then all three yellow lights going to light up at once, and you take off, okay, preferably with a green light. So anyway, what did they do? They had a tournament not too long ago. It wasn't at the drag strip. It was over the winter. And guys put in so much money. Like I think Kat was saying something like you put in so much money, you can play the game. All right, you get in the game and that becomes the pot. Well, they had guys coming from all over the place to come to a certain place in Ohio. I believe it was in Ohio. And they just had the Christmas tree. You would sit there in a chair, and the other guy would sit there in the chair, and instead of having a gas pedal to stomp, you would have a button to push. And whoever reacted the quickest to the green light coming on won that round. And so people who never raced before, never even thought about getting in a race car and going down a drag strip, well, turns out they're pretty good at sitting in the chair and pushing a button, and you can win big money just pushing a button, just playing a game. So you could do it for real and spend thousands of dollars because drag racing is very expensive, or you can do it virtually.
My wife went out one time because I really sucked at my reaction times. And so she was out somewhere, and she saw this little drag racing game. And so she picked it up and brought it home. And then me and my brother, you know, my brother John, we got into it one day, and he was over here, and we were both seeing who could get the quickest reaction time and the quickest time. You could do the whole race on this little thing. And, of course, I was the quickest. Okay. But if you put us on a real drag strip, his car against mine, well, I was not the quickest. But, again, these life is changing. Things are changing. Who would ever believe that you can make $1 million just using your thumbs? Just using your thumbs. But new things shouldn't frighten us. We should be bold about it. We should be brave about it. And as I was listening to Jacob talk, and I finally got a chance to meet him in person, real humble guy, okay, and real serious. And I like that. But anyway, as I was listening to him talk, it reminded me of King David before he became King David, okay? Mm-hmm. He wasn't actually anybody that anybody paid any attention to. Even when Samuel came to look for one of Jesse's sons so he could anoint him, because the Lord said, go down to Jesse's house, I want you to anoint one of his sons king, because Saul had kind of crapped out and he was out. He was dead man walking. He was out, but he was still in. So God sent Samuel down there. When Samuel saw all these boys, and they was all, you know, young, good, strapping young men, but God didn't reject all of them. Okay? They were the warrior types. They were the ones who were in Saul's army. Okay? So they were those types, but God rejected them. But then there was this little ruddy, red-haired lad. I believe that's the way he was described. And this was David. This was the one that Jesse didn't even call to the dinner to even be in for the selection. But he was the one, not like his brothers, who were all up front, who were in Saul's army, who were this, that, and the other. This was David. Even when he went to take his brothers some lunch, that his father sent him to take it, his brother Eliab went off on him. This is what Eliab said. When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you lead those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Really? This is David's brother talking to him. So you can see how he was thought of, not to be somebody who could get into battle, not to be somebody who could play the game. But David getting ready to play the game. David says this to King Saul when he tells Saul, because Goliath is out there making a mockery out of him. He is telling them to send out your strongest man, send your champion out here. Just me and him, we gonna fight. If he lose, we win. If I lose, y'all win. Okay, y'all can have us, right? And so David hears all of this, and David says to Saul, them, and all these army people hanging around, what's up with the uncircumcised Philistine over there cussing us out like that? Why are we just letting him defame God like that? And then David said, what will you give to the man who goes out there and crap him out and stop all that? And they just looked at David and said, oh, you can't go out there and fight with him. This ain't no video game. Okay, this is the real deal. You can't go out there and fight with him. But David said, look, this is what David said to Saul, because Saul was concerned about him. He told him, he's a warrior. He's been a warrior from his youth. You just, you know, a little sheep lunch-carrying guy. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And when I was listening to Jacob talk about these games, and I could hear the excitement in his voice and the passion for the game, when he talked about the one who won the 3.1 or the 1.3 million or 3.1 million, I was like, millions, millions. Jesus, I'm going to play games. But anyway, it reminded me of David. David wasn't thought to be one who was going to be a warrior, one who was going to fight Philistines, but somebody who just kept them few little sheep, the one who don't even get called to the meeting. And when he said, for those who don't really play the game, excuse me, for those who don't really play the game can still get in the game. And I think what our young people, and I'm thankful to God that he came on and talked about this new thing, and this is new. It's not super new, but it's new enough that you can still get on somewhere near the bottom floor. And in this day and age, I'm telling you, these kids live at a two thumbs. They play these games like nothing. I mean, I was watching last Sunday at church, little Luke, one of the deacons in our church, her son, he came back there, picked up the phone, went straight to a game, and boom, turned it sideways. It automatically turned sideways, and he was just going at it, just going at it. And he could probably be the next phenom, right, in these esports. And so God has come up with another way for us to shine and to make money. We're the light of the world. Wherever we go, we're supposed to be the light of the world. I was also looking at a verse that seems to stand out in the middle of nowhere all by itself, couched in a conversation about the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then verse 33 says, don't be deceived. Company corrupts good character. And I think it was Sister Jackie that talks about this game has the ability to help shape character. But then I think Jacob kind of differed with that and said it could, but character would come from something else versus this. And then somebody said having God at the bottom of everything is a support for everything that you're doing. And that came into that character. David had good character because the company he kept was the Lord. Okay, he knew that the Lord had kept him out there. But what Paul was talking about over there is bad company corrupts good character. Watch who's talking into your ear about God and what they're saying about what God said. Because if we're going to have good character, the way you maintain that, for instance, your parents would tell you this and that and the other. When you go outside, don't forget what I told you. This is what I told you. Don't be throwing rocks. Don't be doing this, that, and the other, right? But then when you give it the bad company, you see what I mean? And so one of the things that we want to instill in our young people that we send off to college, that we send off to esports, that we send off to wherever, is to teach them how to maintain that character, to teach them how to keep believing what they believe about God. Don't stop believing. Don't start believing in a compromised God or a God who compromises, because he don't, but stay on the pathway. For instance, you've heard me say it a million times in all of these discussions, everybody we ever talked about, they had natural giftings and they had spiritual giftings. These two have to stay together. David could not have conquered Goliath, the lion, or the bear without God. Okay? Even though keeping sheep is not a God thing, it's not church, it's not preaching or teaching, right? But you learn something about God keeping sheep, okay? You learn something about yourself. David learned that if God can keep me and I fight bears, and if God can keep me and I fight lions, then God can keep me fighting this Philistine. Now, when you play esports or anything else in life, there will be Goliaths all along the way. The Hebrew boys, they kept their Christian character. They didn't eat the king's meat, chapter 1, okay? and chapter 3, they wouldn't bow down to the golden image, forsake their God. But they did excel in the knowledge and all the arts and sciences of the Babylonians, more so than anybody else. But they maintained their Christian character. So no matter how far we go, even if we're like David out there slaying Goliaths, who might be the best people on the planet at the e-sport, but now here we come because God wants to send a message. You know, in drag racing, there are these people who are really good at it. And I just love it when they win. And the first thing, one, this guy, his name is first black top fuel driver, Antron Brown, the first black man to own his own top fuel race team, Antron Brown. And every time Antron wins or loses, as soon as he get out of that car, the first words out of his mouth are, "All praise to our Father in heaven." Erica Enders, she's a young lady, drives in a class called Pro Stock. She is deadly, okay? First thing she says whenever she gets in, win or lose, "All praise to my God and Father in heaven." So these two come together. She's a great Pro Stock car driver, runs at like 658 seconds in the quarter mile at over 200 miles an hour. And the first things out of her mouth is, so you see, she has these secular skills, but she also has the spiritual side. And so, yes, God wants to take us far. And I heard Jason talking about those leagues. He could become a league owner. He's probably on his way to becoming a league owner. I just see success all over him, okay, because he have that drive. And he don't sound like he's going to fail. And he knows what he's talking about. And that means you're going to succeed. But don't forget what Paul said. Bad company corrupts good character. And he was right when he said, character, that's you. That's you. You have to work that out. Okay? You've had these people around you who displayed good character. And you had these people, not so much good character. Okay, so all of that ball works together. You can see David's humility. Okay, did you notice how many times he speaks to Saul like this, "Your servant." He humbles himself. And what did God do? We know he got the victory over Goliath. What really gets me with David is that he really didn't know what he was going to do, but he went towards Goliath, okay? But he really didn't know what he was going to do. Listen to this. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Okay, what's your plan, David? Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. David slays Goliath. Why? Because, one, he believed he could. Two, he went to see if he could. And three, he did. So, yeah, God has opened up a new way, a new thing, a new way to make money, a new way to make inroads for the Lord. Wherever something opens up, the Lord wants to be in it. The Lord wants his people to go there and shine in it. He sent David down there to shine. He wanted David to shine. David, he knew David would bring glory to him. He knew David wouldn't forget him. He knew David would remember him. He knew David would depend on him. And the Lord took him straight to the top. So, yeah, our young people, all we have to do is keep praying for them and get ready for the esports, you know. It's a nuke, and it's a lot of money in it, and there's a lot of opportunities to do a lot of other things. It's impossible to know what God wants to do in it and through it, but I'm sure he'll send his people just like he sent Joseph to Egypt, just like he sent them Hebrew boys down there to Babylon, just like he sent Esther down there to the Medo-Persians. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. It might not seem to us in these, I love Esther because God's name is not even mentioned. Just faith and trust, leaning and reliance on him is displayed big time. And his action on their behalf is displayed big time. And he's not even mentioned in the book. But his activity is all the way through it. Who knows what God is up to with these things? But we should become involved, and we should watch our character and excel and make sure God get the glory, whatever it is. Like I told you, these people, their car, to get their truck, for Antron to get his truck, his car, his team to the track, he's already spent probably $1.5 million just to get there. If he blows the motor, that's $100,000. And everything else that breaks is super expensive. And he is not only in the top, in the fastest class in drag racing, but he is a two-time world champion in that field. So, and this is drag racing, and it might seem like it's nothing, but you'd be surprised when he praises God, others start praising God. And I'd be like, whoa, I didn't know you was a Christian. But it, you know what I mean? But God gets the glory. And they are very intentional. Him and Erica and others are very intentional about that. I always say, well, they're winning because they're cheating. Jesus, they keep asking you to win. But then Jesus said, well, they praying too. Amen. But anyway. Amen. Anyway, let God have his way. They praying too. Let God have his way with you. The Lord taught me if you want to win here on Saturday, it's what you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's going to determine how well you do Saturday. If you lollygag through all those days, then you're probably not going to do very well on Saturday. But if you put your best in all those days, then do your best at the track, then you're probably going to have some fun. Same thing with taking a test. If you don't study, you know, well, there you go. Probably not going to have a whole lot of fun reading those questions and knowing you don't know the answer. But if you do study, then you have the hope of God bringing back to your remembrance what you did study.
Mm-hmm. Practice and preparation.
Yeah, but I knew about that e-sports stuff. I just didn't know it paid that much money. And I knew it was in drag racing big time. Because, like I say, I have a little drag racing. It's a practice machine. So when you get to, it's just like the drag strip. The whole thing, the whole race, this, you have to shift gears and everything. So it's just, but it's all electronic, and I just sit right there on the couch, don't even move. But like I say, I battled with my brother, and I'm really good at reacting to green, or before green. And literally, you see the third yellow light come on, you mash the gas. Because your car lifts up in the front, sit down in the back, then move forward. And my 69 GTX, that whole movement took a half a second. So those lights on the tree are timed a half a second apart. So when the third yellow light before the green, when that third yellow light comes on, I stomp it to the floor, front lifts up, back sits down, car moves, green light come on. So I'm already in motion before the green light comes on. I'm anticipating it. And if you anticipate it right, you'll get a good light. Somewhere from zero is perfect. Somewhere zero to a 020 is good, is the best. Somewhere to a 050 is good. But anything past that, you're probably going to lose. Even if you pass it, you're going to lose. Yeah, so yeah, you learn all that stuff, and now they're doing it. You don't even have to go to the drag strip. You can just you can go over your house in the garage. Got 50 guys over there. They have all put in $100.
Wow.
Whoever gets the best, the last person sitting in the chair with the best reaction times gets the pot.
Oh, that sounds like a good business.
Yeah, I know that the. It was one in Ohio not too long ago, and they had guys coming from all over the place, you know, to compete. I mean, it's wintertime. You can't drag race in the snow, and if you don't have the money to go to Florida or somewhere like that, you know, so you do that.
So this esports, it's in all arenas. It's in the casino. You could do it with the casino. You could do it with hockey. You could do it with racing, drag racing, you can do with everything?
It's everywhere. I know it's big time in drag racing, and it's just getting bigger. I mean, because who would have thought that you could convince people to come out to a building somewhere and you got a Christmas tree there? Not, you know, when I say Christmas tree, don't get the Christmas tree in your head. If you ever notice drag racing, it's like the tree I described. It's got yellow lights at the top, four little ones, pre-stage, stage. And then it's got three lights, yellow lights that come on, one, two, three, and then a green light. The first one, whoever reacts the quickest to that green light wins. Okay, so, or you can do it like the game I got. That is the whole race. I have to, if we in top few, I my reaction time is one thing, and then my finish time is another thing. There's my reaction time and elapsed time. And that's the way you do that race. If I go, like, cut a 05 light and I run a 452, my brother cuts a 010 light and runs a 457, I won. And imagine if we're betting $100 each race. So even though I would never, ever bet on the drag race because anything could happen. For instance, one time I'm racing this lady who I was scared to death of. They call her Granny. She was in her 80s. She ran this Nova called Tons of Fun. She was sponsored by Ram Chargers. Anyway, I figured I'm going to cut a good light on Granny. and make her chase me, and hopefully she'll go faster than she's supposed to, and then I'll win. Anyway, I don't know really what kind of light I cut, because my wind light came on while I was going down the track. Guess what Granny did? She red lighted, and so the race was over before she moved 2 feet. So drag racing is, you know, it's that kind of sport. It's very quick. It's over in seconds. Everything happens in half second increments, one thousandth of a second.
Mm.
You know, everything. You could win a race by a thousandth of a second.
Mm. Wow. So really you're doing it on the computer. So are you just hitting a button? Do you have a pedal? Do you have a steering wheel on the computer?
No, on the computer you don't have none of that. None of it. On my little handheld deal, none of that. It's shaped like a little steering wheel, but you got a shift button and a reaction button. I mean, a gas pedal and a shift button. So as soon as the green light come on, you hit the gas, and then you hit your shift points. And you try to go as fast as you can. And then you hand it to the next person and to see if they can beat your times.
Oh, wow. And that's what that's what she be fouling for you?
Yeah, she always out and she sees stuff and she pick it up and she bring it home and figure I might be able to use it because she know I'd be into that. And,
right.
And that just turned out to be a really good deal.
Wow.
And I still have it, you know. Mm. I have this other shifter that Marilyn gave me, John's my Marilyn overall, but I don't have no batteries in it now. If you could hear this thing, it would be unbelievable. This is real crazy. But
well,
it's got a four-speed. Yeah.
So they're making all this so you can stay home, I guess. You can do all this from home.
No, I have a real race car right in the backyard. And I drive. I was in it the other day.
Okay, interesting. This can go on, and we're gonna do this again because that is very interesting. I don't know if I'll be able to do anything with it, but we can push some of the kids to do it. Yeah. Well, tell us about tomorrow.
Yes.
Well,
tomorrow we have Elder Joseph Stevens preaching in our Saturday worship service, and on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be preaching, and we'll be talking about being an ambassador for Christ.
Mm.
The main thing. That's the main thing, ambassador for Christ. How many people have you led to Christ?
All right. Okay, good deal. Well, if you don't have a church home, if you want to come and join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, same number. Just dial in and listen. You're welcome. Or if you could come to our in-person service on Sunday at 27085 Adam Drive, Rock Christ Ministries, and get a treat. Okay? All right. Okay, ladies, all minds clear. Everybody, thanks, Jacob. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca and Sister Pierce. It was good to hear from you today. We've been pretty busy this week. just thank everybody for tuning in and listening and giving your input. Jacob, we're going to look forward to you coming back again. We had a busy week this week, last week. Had our memorial for our nephew, Anthony Cox, and we're going to dedicate one of our shows to him. And he had a very beautiful memorial service, and it was just lots of love and care going on there. So we're going to talk about that maybe next month or so. Okay. All right. Well, hey. Everybody, Rebecca, Jackie, you guys good?
All's good here.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. Thank you, Pastor O. We appreciate you and enjoy that. Got a lot out of that. Just keep God first, whatever you do. Whatever you do, keep God first. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and now that dude is involved working, so we have work to do. Okay, we'll see you next Friday, same time. More Black History. So happy Black History Month, everybody. Good night.